Good morning to all of you. And welcome to Contra Costa Gospel Church this morning. If you're here for the first time, for those of you who are not here for the first time, welcome back to the sanctuary. We've been absent from here for about a year now, almost exactly a year. It's good to be back. I invite you to turn your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Now this morning, as you're turning your Bibles to Ecclesiastes 11, you think about the three people who stood and had water baptism, received water baptism today. And you have two different kinds of stories in these three people. You have the story of the churched young person who grew up in church, who was introduced to Jesus from a very young age, who knew all the stories probably of Jesus walking on the water and healing the sick and feeding the crowds. And then you have a story like Zizhao's, like Jax, who was not introduced to Jesus until he was much older, maybe even an adult. And you have his sister who received the gospel. And what does the sister do when she receives the gospel? She does the very thing that Scripture tells us to do. She goes home and she tells her family. Can you imagine Esther sitting everybody? Everyone, sit down right now, because I have something to tell you. Can you imagine the fear that she must have experienced? Can you imagine the confusion of her family? What are you talking about? You know, these are things that, to me, it's the beauty of the gospel. You've got all these different kinds of stories. My own personal story is much like Isabel's. I grew up in church. Many of us grew up in church. But to become a Christian as an adult, after you've already lived many years not believing in Jesus. And these are the things that, to me, this is the Lord's impact in the lives of people. This is a God who is in control of all of these things. You see, when Jack was a little boy, Jack wasn't a Christian, but God had his eye on Jack. God had his eye on Jack the entire time. There's no concern, there's no worry. Will Jack receive? God knew at one point in 2007, his sister will sit them down and tell them about Jesus. There is this sense in which, you know, we can't control these series of events. We can't control how these things come to be. This is God working, pulling his master strings. He is the master marionette. He is the master chess player who, when he makes a move, he forces you to make a responding move. But aha, God says, that's the move I wanted you to make. This is God being in control of all these things. And for a Christian, that is a source of comfort. Because there's so much as people we can't control. I mean, that's one of the hearts of the gospel, is that you can't do it on your own. You need help. This morning in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, we see Kohelet tell his listeners, Kohelet, the author of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes is a book of wisdom, written by an old man with a long beard. You can almost imagine he's got this gray beard that goes down to here. And as he's talking to you, he's stroking his beard because of his aged wisdom. And he writes this book, Ecclesiastes, because he wants to tell the younger generation about some of the things, mistakes that he's made, some of the revelations that he's had, and most importantly, how God fits into all of it. And we come here, we're almost at the end of the book. We're at chapter 11. Turn with me to chapter 11. I'm going to read just the first half, starting off here. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Ship your grain across the sea. After many days, you may receive a return. Invest in 7 ventures, yes, in 8. You do not know what disaster may come upon the land. If clouds are full of water, they pour rain on the earth. Whether a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where it falls, there it will lie. Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. As you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. Sow your seed in the morning, and at evening let your hands not be idle, for you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. In these first six verses, Kohelet, he brings up three or four or five different life situations. Okay? And he strings them, strings these situations together. Makes it a little bit hard to read, but when you put it all into one category, what you find out, Kohelet is basically telling you, you don't know things. You can't control things. And we look here on the screen just to highlight a few of these things. This, what you're reading on the screen is not exactly what I just read. It's from the old NIV, but you'll get the idea. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 2 says, give portions to seven, yes to eight, for you do not know what disaster may come upon the land. And verse 5, as you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so you do not know, you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. Sow your seed in the morning, and at evening let not your hands be idle, for you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. In six verses, four times, Kohelet says very clearly, you don't know. And I would also include in this idea of you don't know is you don't control these things. He says in verse 3, if clouds are full of water, they pour rain on the earth. You don't control that. You just receive it. You know, we were desperate for rain over the last 2 weeks. Desperate for rain to calm the fire, to aid in our breathing. And by the grace of God, we got it. Who controlled that? Who ordered it? Who pressed the button? Who seeded the clouds to make them rain? You don't control that. You just receive it. He says here in verse 3, whether a tree falls to the south or to the north, where it falls, there it is. Okay, listen to the wisdom of Kohelet. If a tree falls this way or that way, where it falls, there it is. Isn't that great? Isn't that wise? That could be a whole sermon right there. Right? If you turn left or you turn right, where you turned, that's where you're going. No, Kohelet says, if a tree falls in the forest, you don't control it. You don't control it. It's controlled by forces that are outside of you. Not only do you not control it, you don't know, you can't predict. Kohelet tells us in these first six verses very clearly that one of the parts of relating to God is first recognizing your own inability. Your own inability. This is a hard thing for people. A hard thing for people to come and recognize, I just can't do it. You see, we are a people that's built on this idea of self-accomplishment. We pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. We strive, we work hard, and so then we receive. One of the hearts of the gospel message that you have to convince people, this is probably the hardest part, is you cannot do it on your own. You need the help of God, and God has helped you. He has accomplished that through His Son, Jesus Christ. It's only because of Jesus Christ that we can receive salvation. It's only based on His work on the cross and His resurrection from the dead that you can receive the forgiveness of sins. That's it. There's nothing else that will accomplish that for you. Kohelet says here in the first six verses, you don't know. You can't control. Kohelet, he's sitting in his chair, his grandpa chair, and he's got his kids and his grandkids and maybe his great-grandkids around him. And he says, stop thinking that you can control all circumstances. You can't. Kohelet says, if there's one thing that I've realized, is that I am not in control. I am not in control. And I'm going to tell you, if you're not a believer, if you don't believe in Jesus, you don't put your faith in God, if you come to recognize that you're not in control, that's a frightening thought, I would imagine. Because you do your best, but there are certain things you can't control everything. You can't always dictate what's going to happen. Kohelet says this is the first part of relating to the Lord, of understanding His work and His wisdom in our lives. So what do we do then? We can't control things, so what do we do in the meantime? What is our response? If we can't control things, do we just sit and wait for God to work? Let's read it again here. In verse 1, ship your grain across the sea, and after many days, you might receive a return. Invest in 7 ventures, yes, in 8. You do not know what disaster may come upon the land. You see, what may tend to happen is if you come to recognize that you can't control things, the tendency, perhaps the temptation, is to sit and do nothing, to be idle. And Kohelet says, no, that's actually not wise. You can't control it, yes. But there are certain things that are in your power to control. And those things you need to be diligent to do. He says, ship your grain across the sea, and you might get a return. This is sort of in the world of business and trading. He says, go and conduct business across the sea and with different kinds of people, and you might get something back. He says, this is a financial planning here. Invest in 7 ventures, yes, in 8. We call that in the world of finance, in the world of investing, diversify. Okay? Diversify. Kohelet says, look, you can't control things. You can't control the outcome of things. And so what do? You be diligent and prudent and diversify your assets. Whoa. 7 ventures, yes, in 8. In 8 ventures, okay? There was a period of time that maybe it was fantastic to put all of your money into one sector of industry, maybe tech sector, okay? My father, he died in 2000, okay? In 2001, there was what we would call the dot-com bust. So he died before it busted, and boy, I tell you, he was kicking himself that he didn't invest more in tech, because just before his eyes, just kept going up and up and up and up. And at the end of before he died, he started to put more money in tech. So that when he died in 2000, we had this, his whatever he had left, whatever he saved, and we didn't touch it for a while. And then the dot-com bust happened. And then what he had left for the three of us was reduced to a very small amount. And then Kohelet tells me, invest in 7 things and in 8. And more importantly than just what you do with your money, Kohelet says, if you can't control things, which you cannot, be prudent, be diligent, be smart about the way you conduct your life. He says in verse 4, whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. You don't know the path of the wind or how the body is formed. You can't understand the work of God. Sow your seed in the morning, and at evening let not your hands be idle, for you don't know which will succeed. If you don't know and you can't control, our response is not to be idle, but to be diligent. And so this is a message, really, I could hear my parents tell me, don't be lazy. This is actually a message from heaven. That because you can't control, you have to do your part. God says you have to do your part. You see, some people are in such fear of the way the wind's going to blow and whether the rain is going to come or not that they just sit and wait. And Kohelet says, that's not the way to respond. Don't be gripped by that. You don't know, but you have to do what you can do. You need to take care of your side of the equation. This is a tough thing. And I don't want to necessarily speak against or to speak at any one group of people. But there was a period of time, I haven't seen it in a while, but there was a period of time, a four-letter acronym. It's very popular. YOLO. You only live once. And that idea was fantastic, right? You only live once, so live your life to the fullest. Do all different kinds of things. Try different things. Experiment. Enjoy life while you still have your youth. And Kohelet would say, to a certain degree, if you've been following, and you feel like you get to know Kohelet a little bit, I think Kohelet would say, yeah, to a certain degree, yeah, go ahead and enjoy life. But now he's given the caveat to that instruction. He says, enjoy life, but not at the sacrifice of being prudent. Enjoy life, but not at the sacrifice of being wise about the future. And this is really where, again, my parents, I can just hear them telling me, you need to save your money. You need to save your money. And Kohelet actually is saying something very similar to that. He says, you can't control things. You can't control which way the wind blows. You can't control when the rain comes. You can't control world events. A lot of things you can't control. But in the meantime, the things that are in your ability to determine, you need to be diligent. You need to take care of your business. And then finally, in verse 7, he says, light is sweet, and it pleases the eyes to see the sun. However many years anyone may live, let them enjoy them all. But let them remember the days of darkness, for there will be many. Everything to come is meaningless. You who are young, be happy while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. So then, banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body, for youth and vigor are meaningless. Kohelet ends with both an encouraging note and a little bit of a scary, ominous threat, a warning to those who are young. And this is what I was saying earlier, to those who are young. He says, yeah, go ahead, live free. Do whatever you want. Follow your passion. But know that if you only do that, if you only do those things and you're not prudent and you're not diligent and you don't take care of the things that need to be taken care of, what does he say at the end of verse 9? For know that all these things God will bring you into judgment. Incidentally, look at this, okay, again, we saw already, verse 2, you don't know what disaster may come upon the land. You don't know the path of the wind. You don't know the work of God. You don't know which of these things will succeed. However, in verse 9, at the end, if you follow just your own passion and live for yourself without any consideration of what's to come, you do know, you will know, that for all these things, God will bring you into a judgment. Kohelet says, I've seen this episode before. I've seen people just live for themselves without a care or a worry in the world. I'm just going to live for now. And Kohelet says, it's not going to work out. There is this wonderful balance that we need to strive for. That is God's wisdom of living and enjoying the moment. And also, because we can't control what's ahead, we are diligent with our responsibilities. That balance is so hard to achieve. Some of us are imbalanced in being too much about work, too much about this being prudent, so that they can't relax, they can't enjoy. And I don't see Cindy here. Is she here? That's my wife. That's my wife. She's always so tense. She's always got like kinks in her neck and her shoulders. And I'll ask her, like, what is up? What are you stressed about? I'm not saying that life isn't stressful. But as I sort of take stock of our lives, I guess I'm the other. This is why, you know, we're on both sides. Her and I need to come together, okay? But she's always so stressed and tense. Takes things so seriously. And is always worried about tomorrow. And it's very hard for her to enjoy today. It's very hard for her to enjoy the moment. I, on the other hand, I'm really good at enjoying the moment. I need to think more about tomorrow. Hence, I married somebody who thinks it for me. Okay? She carries on her body the stress for both of us. I am very soft everywhere. Okay? Very loose. Maybe I don't know how you perceive me or whatever, but I like to relax. I really do. And she's always so tense. And Kohelet's talking to both of us here. And he says, Cindy, young Cindy, relative to Kohelet, she's young, okay? Young Cindy, you need to relax. Young Eddie, you need to be diligent. You need to take care of your business. You need to invest smartly and wisely and prudently because you don't control things. Which one are you? Which side do you sway to? Do you sway to the side that says, I'm going to live for the now? I'm not going to worry about tomorrow. I'll worry about tomorrow tomorrow. The problem is that tomorrow comes and that there are things that were outside of your control. They were outside of your ability to keep under wraps. And thus you're suffering for it tomorrow. Are you like Cindy, who can't stop thinking about tomorrow, can't stop worrying, and has no ability to enjoy, or less ability to enjoy the moment? And Kohelet says, somewhere in the wisdom of God is to find that happy medium, that happy balance. And hopefully, where our trajectory is toward this balance. If I can chart out our lives going forward, hopefully she will relax and hopefully I will be more diligent at some point. And hopefully we'll keep each other in check. At the end of the day, Kohelet actually is setting us up for chapter 12. That's the final conclusion, chapter 12, which we will break up into two messages. He says here in verse 10, so then banish anxiety from your heart. Cast off the troubles of your body, for youth and vigor are meaningless. Banish anxiety from your heart. Cast off the troubles. How do you do that? You do that, he's already told us actually, in verse 5. You don't know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in a mother's womb. And you cannot know the work of God, who is the maker of all things. You cannot know the work of God, who is the maker of all things. That verse sits right in the middle of this chapter, and I think it's on purpose. He says, how do you actually cast off your troubles and your anxieties? You don't know things. You can't control things. And that's actually a stressful thing. I can't control the destiny of my two boys. I can't. I try to. I really want to. There are certain things I'm already praying for their spouses. I'm already praying for them. You laugh. I want them to marry well. I want them to marry young ladies who love the Lord. I want them to marry people who are going to help them be better people. I can't control it, but I don't stress about it. Because I know that the maker of all things loves them more than I love them. He cares about them more than I care about them. You know, there are people right now who are in some tremendous need, even within our congregation. I'm just going to mention a couple, just very briefly. Uncle Leo, who would normally sit right behind me, he's going through some medical issues at the moment. And Ross, who sits in the back. Ross is a little bit quieter. You may or may not know Ross, but he does a tremendous amount to maintain the church property. He is our facilities manager. He is also dealing with some serious health issues. And I was praying for them. We've been asking people to pray, and I'm now asking you to pray for them. I was praying for them, and I said to myself, or I said to the Lord, I said, you know what, God? As much as we care about them, you care about them more. You care about them more. You did more. You've done more for them than I've ever done. You sent your son to die for them. And in so doing, demonstrated to them how much you love them. This is the God who actually does control the things that are not in our control. This is the one who's in control of those things. I can't control it, and I don't know. Qohelet has very adeptly told me this morning, I don't know and I can't control. But he also says, the hand of God, the work of God, is active in our lives. We don't know what he's doing, but we trust him. We trust him. And that allows us, in verse 10, to banish anxiety from our heart, to cast off the troubles of our body. Jesus says, why do you worry about tomorrow? And it's not just that, just live for today. Part of it is, I got it. I've got you. I'm taking care of tomorrow. So trust me. Do what you need to do. Be diligent in your affairs. But trust me. Trust me that I will take care of what's going to happen going forward. You see, this is, to me, yet again, the privilege of being a believer. It's not just for eternal life. This is the life now. The life now of a believer doesn't have to be stress-filled. It doesn't. Yes, be diligent in what you need to do. Be prudent in your affairs. But trust me. Trust me that I've got it taken care of. Trust me, Eddie, that I've got your boys taken care of. Trust me that I've got your affairs taken care of. And if things happen that are out of your control, that are unfortunate circumstances, trust me that I know what's happening. Trust me that I've got it. I've got it under control. Trust me that nothing that happens to your life is outside of my control, is ever chaotic. Trust me. Many of you know there's a famous prayer written by a man named Reinhold Niebuhr. And you've seen it in stores. You've seen it maybe online or something. And it so adequately sums up this chapter. I want to share it with you as I close here. Reinhold Niebuhr, he was a theologian in the early 1900s, one of the more influential Christian theologians. And he wrote, God, give me grace to accept with serenity the things that cannot be changed. You don't know. You can't control. Courage to change the things which should be changed. So be diligent and prudent in your affairs in the meantime. The wisdom to distinguish the one from the other. In all these things, we trust in the Lord, who is the maker of all things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. And we pray that you would instill in our hearts a trust, a deep trust, that you have our affairs in your hands. Help us, Lord, in the face of not knowing what's going to happen, not being able to control what's going to happen. Help us, Lord, first to be diligent in our affairs. To not be idle, to not be lazy, to take care of what we need to take care of. But ultimately, let the foundation of our lives be a trust in the maker of all things, who has all things in his hands. And our lives are never outside of your care. We thank you, Lord, that as believers, this is our privilege and our blessing. And we pray that you'd help us to live in it. In Jesus' name, amen.